Grace be unto you and peace, Advent peace, from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me the sermon title? It's upon the screen. Wake Up Time, based on Romans chapter 13. Listen to this verse. St. Paul writes, "Do this knowing the time. It is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we first believed." Again, our title this morning is Wake Up Time. I invite you to open your worship folder. Find there the sermon outline and follow along with the outline as we consider this theme. Let me ask you a personal question this morning. Have you ever had in your life a, "Oh no, I overslept" nightmare? I'm talking about a bad dream in which you were supposed to be at some very important event. You had a very important responsibility and people were counting on you to be there, but you could not or you did not get out of bed in time to be there. Now, maybe your dreams have been as graphic as mine. And not only have you slept, but you can't find your pants. Or you can't find your car keys. Or you can't find something important you're supposed to take with you to this event. Now, perhaps this describes not just a bad dream in your life, but a real event in your life when one day you overslept. As bad as that might be, it is far more serious and tragic when a person has fallen asleep spiritually and is not ready for Jesus coming again on Judgment Day. The Bible tells us again and again in various places, it is wake up time. The day is dawning, the day of Jesus' glorious return and ushering in the day of judgment. That day is upon us. We're being told in Holy Scripture that today, this very day, we are living in a very special kairos time. There are two words for time in the Greek language in the New Testament. One word is chronos, from which we get typical, ordinary clock time. From chronos, we get the word chronology. But the second word for time in the Greek New Testament is the name kairos, which means a special, a critical, an unforgettable time. A kairos time in my life would be August 13th, 1979, when I was ordained into the office of the Holy Ministry in our small little church in Spokane, Washington. Another kairos time for me would be Saturday, April 26th, 2003, because it was upon that day that Beverly became my wife. These were both kairos, unforgettable, wonderful, critical points of time in my life. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, St. Paul talks about another kairos time. We read, "When the time had fully come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, to be our Savior." This is talking about the first coming of Jesus, when the time was just right in the plan and the will of the Heavenly Father. He sent Jesus, His Son. Now, St. Paul tells us these words about time in Romans chapter 13, our sermon text. Do this, my friends, knowing the time. It's already for the hour for you to wake up from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we first believed. My friends, today, this day, December 7th, 2014, our salvation is nearer to us than when we first believed. Now is the hour. Now is the time. The Lord Jesus is coming. And the season of Advent wakes us up. The very word Advent means coming. Now at Advent, surely, look at our tree, look at our beautiful poinsettias in the Advent wreath. At Advent, surely, we're focused on the first coming of Jesus as that Bethlehem babe in the manger. But make no mistake about it, the season of Advent also pushes our eyes to look to the horizon for the second coming of our Lord. The King is coming. Judgment Day is upon us. The end of the world is coming. Are you ready? Are you awake? This is no time for us to doze off spiritually. St. Matthew tells us in chapter 24, keep watch. You don't know on what day the Lord will come. The Son of Man will come at an hour when you least expect Him. My friends, spiritual dozing is not just embarrassing. Spiritual dozing can have eternal consequences. If a person is not prepared on Judgment Day to meet their God, this unpreparedness could result in eternal separation from God. And the Bible spells that H-E-L-L. You know, sometimes, though, let's be honest with ourselves. Sometimes in this world, in this life, it's difficult for us to consider the end of world and Judgment Day. So to bring this issue closer to home to you this morning, let me ask you this question. Take to heart this question. What would you do if you knew you had 1 week to live? What would you do if you had 1 week to live and you knew it? Suddenly, things that you thought were terribly important would become quickly very insignificant. Take a moment right now with me, won't you? Imagine that you have 1 week to live. Make a mental note of those things you need to do in that 1 week's time. People with whom you need to spend time. People for whom you need to speak a word of forgiveness. Sins to repent of. Unfinished plans to complete. Unresolved issues that you know need to be resolved. That neighbor, family member, or friend you've been always waiting to tell about the love of Jesus. What are you waiting for? How do you know your time on earth will not come to an end quickly and suddenly with no warning? Advent is a good trumpet call to each of us. Advent declares to us in every page of Scripture that refers to Jesus' advent, wake up! The time is at hand. This is a kairos time, a special time. And the Son of Man will come in an hour, the Bible says, we don't expect. But not only does St. Paul say in Romans 13 text, it's time to wake up. He tells us we need to be dressed for the occasion. How are you dressed this morning? How did you decide to wear what you were going to wear? Now, it's easy for me. I wear the same white dress every Sunday. Paul tells us it's not just time to wake up. He says it's time to check how you're dressed for the occasion. The occasion is Jesus' second coming. And to be dressed for this occasion, the Bible says, we are to throw off the rags of sin and death and be clothed with the righteousness of Christ. Listen to Paul's words. The night is almost gone. The day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and let us clothe ourselves and put on the armor of light. Paul is talking here about dressing and undressing. He speaks of putting on the armor of God's light and casting off the dirty, filthy rags of sin and rebellion, the deeds of darkness. In the Old Testament book of Zechariah, chapter 3, God gives his people a vision of judgment day, that last day. Zechariah paints the picture of a man named Joshua, and he says, Joshua stands for all of God's people. Joshua stands before the almighty judgment throne of God, and he's described as dressed in filthy, stinking, dirty rags. And on his left is the attorney for the prosecution, Satan. The very name Satan in Hebrew means the accuser. And Satan says to God the judge, see this stinking, dirty sinner. Can't you see his rags of sin and death? Condemn him. Damn him. But Zechariah's vision says, on the right-hand side of Joshua, who stands for you and me, stands another one. He is the attorney for the defense. He is Jesus Christ, our Lord, who says to the accuser, shut your mouth. This is a holy, precious child of God plucked from your fires. And Jesus, then the pre-incarnate Christ, strips off him the filthy rags of dirt and rebellion and clothes him with robes of righteousness. Every Sunday when you see your pastor dressed like this, it's to be a graphic example and reminder, I do have sin. But I am clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Paul says in the scripture for today, cast off these dirty rags and put on the armor of God's light. The good news is this. We can't dress ourselves for the occasion of judgment day. Our good deeds don't dress us for that occasion. We must be dressed in the righteousness of Christ. And he does it freely for the sake of his grace and mercy for sinners like you and like me. For Jesus' sake, God dresses us in the robes of righteousness. So when that judgment day comes, not only are we awake, we are dressed for the occasion. Paul says the same thing in Romans 13. He says this. He says that we can, I quote, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Galatians 3, he says, for all of you who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have clothed yourselves in Christ. There's a beautiful old hymn that says the same thing. And here's what the chorus of the hymn says. Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are my glorious dress. By Jesus' death on the cross for our sin, and because of his rising from the grave, he gives us victory over sin, victory over death, victory over the devil. He exchanges our sin for his righteousness. He strips off our filthy garments of sin and death and gives us his robes of righteousness. He dresses us for the occasion. We are now ready to meet him on judgment day and meet our Lord with the words of another wonderful hymn. And the words of that hymn says this. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I clean. Naked, come to thee for dress. Helpless, look to thee for grace. My friends, we are dressed in the righteous robes of Christ, dressed for the occasion of Judgment Day. And so dressed, St. Paul tells us, we are to wait and live as God's holy children, waiting for that day of judgment. Paul puts it this way in Romans 13, my friends, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make now no provision for the flesh. That is to say, between Jesus' first coming at the manger and his second coming on Judgment Day, we are to live as God's forgiven, redeemed, well-dressed children in the righteousness and forgiveness and love of Christ. Thank God for his gift of mercy and forgiveness. The story is told in Spain of a father and his boy who really had a falling out. Their relationship had become so terribly strained, the young boy named Paco ran away from home. His father, though desperate for reconciliation, began a journey in search of his rebellious son, and finally in Madrid, in one last desperate effort to forgive and love and welcome his son home, the father put an ad in the big newspaper. The ad read this thusly, dear Paco, meet me in front of the newspaper office at noon. All is forgiven. I love you, your father. And the next day, at noon, in Madrid, in the front of that newspaper office stood 800 boys named Paco. They were all seeking forgiveness and love from their father. What a wonderful gift is the gift of love and forgiveness. All people in our world today, all people especially in this sinful, dark, and fallen world today, crave and need the gift of love and forgiveness. My friends, this gift is yours. Though you have strayed from the love of your Heavenly Father, he seeks you out and will not rest until you rest in his arms. In our Lord Jesus Christ, he has come to seek us out. Jesus said, I have come to seek and save those who are lost. And to make you ready for the end of the world, my friends, in the day of judgment, in Jesus' name, I say to you, your sins have been forgiven. You have been dressed in the righteous robes of Christ. You are ready. So this day, and every day of Advent, is a wonderful day to wake up and to celebrate and to share the love of God and the righteousness of Christ poured upon us, which is a gift God wants to give to the entire world. My friends, it's wake-up time. In the name of Jesus, amen.